Would you please turn with me to John's Gospel, a very familiar text to all of you, John chapter 15. Again, the version I'm using might be slightly different. I use this with my children in our family worship, NIV. Some people call it nearly inspired version, but I will use, usually I use NASB or ESV, but I brought this. But this is the Word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is gardener. He cuts every branch in me that bear no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remain in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful Father, thank you for this morning, your holy day, that your people come together and worship you. Lord, I desire to preach this morning, but I go weak and needy to my task. Yet, Lord, I pray that your people might be edified with the divine truth. Give me assistance in preaching and prayer, with heart uplifted for grace. Lord, may your people be refreshed, melted, convicted, and comforted by your holy word. In Christ's merciful name I ask. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me begin with a very simple question. How do you express your relationship with Christ? How do you and how do we express our relationship with Christ Jesus? To express our relationship with Christ, we often use some such terms and phrases like knowing Christ or loving Christ and being loved by Christ or walk with Christ, disciples of Christ, and so on and on. That kind of terms and phrases we use often to relate ourselves or express our relationship with Christ. Apostle Paul's favorite terms to show his relationship with Christ, guess what? Are Christ's servant and in Christ and Christos. Those are his favorite terms to express his relationship with Christ. And together with its cognate expression such as in the Lord or in him, he mostly uses Christ's servant, in Christ, in the Lord, and in him. These four terms occurs 164 times in Paul's epistles. But amazingly, Jesus Christ in our text has chosen for us a most graphic analogy showing our relationship to him and our relationship to us. That graphic analogy is the relationship of the vine and the branches in our text. Contextually, this analogy is the final in the crucial set of seven ego eimi, seven I am statements or saying of Christ. So this is the final one in John's Gospel. And especially in this I am saying, I am the true vine, there's an additional assertion found only in this last I am saying. What is that additional assertion? I am the vine and my Father is vine dresser or wine or the gardener. Why is that? This final I am saying because it refers to Jesus and the Father. Because if we read the context of this chapter, immediate context, or in especially previous chapter, we see there's a close relationship repeated between Jesus and the Father. That's why Jesus is saying, I am the true vine and my Father. There's an additional assertion. Because there is a close relationship repeated between Jesus and the Father. Therefore, now to understand what it really means to abide in Christ and what happens in our lives as a result, we would focus on three essential aspects of abiding in Christ. And that would be my usual 3-point sermon this morning. Those three essential aspects of abiding in Christ, I would be focusing on abiding in Christ, what it implies. First, we will be focusing on what it implies. And secondly, abiding in Christ, what it involves. And thirdly and lastly, abiding in Christ, what it brings, the fruits of abiding in Christ. An English dictionary, Webster dictionary, defines abide as to endure without yielding, to bear patiently, to accept without objection, or to remain stable or fixed in a state or continue in a place. That's the English dictionary definition to abide. The Greek word meno for abide means to stay in a given place, state, or relationship, or expectancy. That's the Greek meno means. Other words that are used interchangeably are continue, dwell, endure, be present, or reunion. Our text, John chapter 15 verses 1 to 10 or 11, shows us the importance of abiding in Christ. It shows us the importance of abiding in Christ and what can be the result in our lives if we are faithful and constantly abide in Christ. So, importance and the result. verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Without me, you can do nothing. First of all, abiding in Christ implies our oneness with Christ. It implies our oneness with Christ. This fact is reinforced if we see in Jesus' prayer in few chapters, two chapters later, chapter 17, Christ's high priestly prayer. The union, our union, our oneness with Christ is reinforced by Jesus Christ two chapters later in his high priestly prayer, sometimes called intercessory prayer or farewell prayer. How it is reinforced there. If we read chapter 17, verses 20 and 20 through 22, Jesus prayed like that. "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." Christ is not praying only for the disciples or apostles, but for us too, for me especially. "Through their word, that they also may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you." What Christ is praying for? That they may be one, like me and you are one. "That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you have gave me, I have given them, again, that they may be one, just as we are one." How many times in the three verses we saw the word one? Several times. That they may be one. Three times. That's the perfect number. This is how Christ reinforces the importance of union with him. Jesus' high priestly prayer contains only 650 words in original text, and it takes only 3 minutes and 30 seconds to read it aloud. Go home and practice it. I did. I'm a little late because that's not my original language. I was a little faster in Urdu. That means it's short. But may it take all eternity for us to fully understand this short prayer. It's significant. However, one thing is very crystal clear in this prayer. That is our union with him. Our union with him was a prime thing on the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ when he prayed. His desire was that we would experience the same oneness that he and his Father experienced. Isn't that amazing? We have the same oneness that he and his Father experiences. The union between the Father and the Son was inseparable. In previous chapters, chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, Jesus had a brief dialogue with Philip, if we read there. And Philip asked Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Philip asked Lydia, show us the Father and that's enough for us. We will ask no more, nothing. And what was Jesus' answer? Jesus answered. It was astonishing, astounding answer. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me? And now, isn't that amazing that Jesus is asking, I've been with you for so long time and still you are asking to show us the Father? Christ prayed for us that we may be one with Him in the same way He and His Father are one. Can you grasp the depth of Christ's desire here? Do you understand the meaning of this privileged union with Christ, that we are one with Him? Although some people may misunderstand. We are not a part of Christ and He is not a part of us like in pantheistic ideology people think, especially in India, Hindus and maybe here, materialistic people. It is not a metaphysical union. He is not a part of us and we are not a part of Him. One of the erroneous concepts of union with Christ, which leads to pantheistic concept. Everything is God and God is everything. I'm not talking about that and we understand that. Even some in Hinduism and in a Sufi Islam, that concept exists, pantheistic concept exists. However, though we do not have a metaphysical union with Christ, but we are inseparable. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, earlier we read a beautiful chapter, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword? Our union with Christ is inseparable. Here in Romans 8, verses 31 through 35, in these five verses, Apostle Paul has asked five rhetorical questions to draw out the amazing privileges of belonging or abiding to Christ Jesus. For example, in verse 35, the first rhetorical question he asked, if God is with us, who can be against us? Verse 32, will He not also give us all things with Him? The third question he asked in verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? The fourth question he asked in verse 34, who is to condemn? And the fifth question in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Therefore, though our union with Christ is not metaphysical, but it is spiritual and vital. It is vital union. But what is the meaning of this spiritual union? And how it happens? And what is the purpose of this union? The meaning of this spiritual union with Christ is that this union is effected by the Holy Spirit, not by any other means. It is effected by Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit brought us together. Don't you think, though we are very few here, We belong to different countries, I can say. We belong to the same country, but different cultures, different languages, even different colors. I'm a brownish. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit brought us together to move among us, and we are one in Christ. I do remember in 2001, while I went to Germany, Heidelberg University, to study there, I do remember there were many students from all over the world, and in my class there was a lady when we were introducing ourselves, and after the class just she came to me and she just asked me, "Are you from Pakistan? Are they Christian?" She was very interested. And then she introduced me. She is the wife of the pastor who is studying in the next class. So I realized, wow, that's the Holy Spirit. And then we were meeting every day after the class. We were having some food together. And we never met, never knew each other. Belonged to totally different culture and countries. But we had very good fellowship. That was who brought that fellowship? The Holy Spirit. We had one Holy Spirit, one Christ, one Holy Spirit, one Lord, one baptism. So Holy Spirit brought us together, and the Holy Spirit works in us that we may be more like Jesus. We are, because we, Holy Spirit makes us one with Christ. We may be more like Jesus day by day. This is the purpose of our union. The meaning of our union is that it is brought by the Holy Spirit, not by any other means. Not because we are more smart or more rich or more better people, no. And the purpose is that we may become more like Jesus day by day. That's the purpose of our union. Our union with Christ is brought about by the Holy Spirit because there is a close relationship between Christ and Holy Spirit. Note again the interchangeability of Christ and the Spirit in Romans 8. How Paul uses there, he uses Christ and the Holy Spirit in verses 9 and 10. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, and one who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to you, belong to Him. He's using the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of Christ. And then if we go further, he used Christ himself. But if Christ in you, first he asked in verse 9, if the Holy Spirit is in you, if you are in the Spirit, now he's asking, but if you are in the Christ. So he shows their very close relationship with Christ and the Holy Spirit. Like there's a close relationship between Christ and the Father. John Murray, in his book, it's a wonderful book, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, he says in his book, Christ dwells in us by the Spirit. The Spirit is the bond of this union. The Spirit is the bond of this union. So the meaning of our spiritual union with Christ is that it is affected by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, union with Christ is vital. It's important. It is unspeakable. In our union with Christ, Christ's life actually flows into our lives like the vine and the branches. The life flows into the branches, renewing our inner nature and impart spiritual strength, like in the vine and the branches. Therefore, there's a literal truth in Jesus' metaphor of the vine and the branches. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit unless it receives life from the vine, so we cannot bear spiritual fruits if Christ's life does not flow into our lives. In verse 4, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." To abide in Christ is to continually abide in His presence. He will never leave nor forsake us, brothers and sisters. In fact, our union with Christ, we are seated with Him in the heavenly realm. Because of our union with Christ, we are seated with Him. What a great privilege. We were talking about sickness and illnesses this morning, and many trials of the life. But imagine, if we are united with Him, we are seated with Him in heavenly realms. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ." Just after Christmas, around Christmas, I was coming back from the church. I think it's the last Lord's Day, previous Lord's Day. On 75th Street, I saw a sign urging people like this: "Seek Christ in this season." I mean, Christmas season. It was asking just before Christmas. I saw that. It was Lord's Day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I would encourage you and urge you to understand the meaning and the purpose and the privilege of being united with Christ and abide in Him, not only in this season or this year. It's going, it's last day today. But always. Next year. If anybody this morning is not in Christ, rush to Him, as He calls you to be found in Him before the dreadful day of the Lord. If you are in Christ, be united. Stay in His presence. Abide in His presence. We saw that abiding in Christ implies our oneness with Him, which is brought by the Holy Spirit. That leads to our second point, abiding in Christ, what it involves. Abiding in Christ, what it involves. First of all, abiding in Christ involves dependence upon Him. It involves total dependence upon Him. Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Because without me you can do nothing." Verse 5 clearly says that abiding in Christ involves dependence on Him, because we can do nothing without Him. In our union and oneness with Christ, it is important that we continually rely upon His grace that works so powerfully in our lives. This is the truth. This is the truth also expressed by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves." We are not sufficient that anything comes from us. Paul is saying, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letters, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's what Paul is saying. Nothing comes from us. We are not sufficient in ourselves. What he's teaching there, that he's teaching the total dependence upon Christ involves our ability to trust in him for the grace that the things that are needed in our life, we must trust him. The total dependence. Many years before John wrote, or Paul wrote, Jeremiah in his chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and who hopes, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But her leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the years of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. That's a description of anybody who trusts the Lord. He's like a, I think that's a, like a psalmist saying, if we are depending on him, trusting on him, and there's fruit. Let me put before you a small, brief illustration about the fruitfulness and dependence upon God. A few years ago, the Associated Press released a study done by an agriculture school in Iowa, where your pastor is this morning. And a few years back, I think two years back, I was there, and I was told the best land in America is somewhere in Iowa. I loved that area because I'm also the son of a farmer. The Associated Press released that study. It reported that production of 100 bushel of corn from 1 acre of land, in addition to many hours of farmer's labor, requires what? It requires 4 million pounds of water. It requires 6,800 pounds of oxygen. It requires 5,200 pounds of carbon. 160 pounds of nitrogen, 125 pounds of potassium, and 70 pounds of yellow sulfur and other elements too many to list. In addition to these things, which no man can produce, rain and sunshine at the right time are critical. It was estimated that only 5% of produce of a farm can be attributed to the effort of man. Only 5% can be attributed to efforts of man. If we are honest, we would have to admit that the same is true for our spiritual life and for spiritual fruits. John, in our text, verse 5, for without me you can do nothing. Here we see the total dependence on Christ. Abiding in Christ involves total dependence on Christ. I don't think even we can add or help to God in our spiritual, even 5%. No, I would say even not a 0.5%. So it involves depending on Christ's grace. The second thing, abiding in Christ involves total dependence upon him, and the second thing involves obedience unto him. Obedience unto him. In verses 9 and 10, John said, as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in me, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in me, in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abiding in Christ involves obedience. Obedience brings us into a greater dimension of Christ's presence and enabling power. When we disobey Him, we are quenching the Spirit within us and rejecting His abiding presence. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is He who loves me. Therefore, abiding in Christ involves dependence on Him and obedience. Thirdly, abiding in Christ, the third aspect involves continuation. It's not one day, or it's not at Christmas, it's not only this season. Seek Jesus in this season. No, it's continuation, continually. If we want to bear fruit, we need to continually obey Him, continually depend on Him, and continue abide in Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple indeed. Many of us never received the abundance of Christ's blessing and fruitfulness because the lack of staying power, for whatever reason. Remember, the Greek word here also means to stay in the given place or state. Meno means stay in the given state or place, relation or expectancy. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul said, and let us not grow weary like doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So, continuation is important. In Hampton Court near London, there's a grapevine under glass. It's a huge. It is about 1,000 years old and has but one root. It's under glass, which is at least 2 feet thick. The root is 2 feet thick. Some of the branches are 200 feet long. Because of the skillful cutting and pruning, the vine produces several tons of grapes each year. Even though some of the smaller branches are 200 feet from the main stem, they bear much fruit because they are joined to the vine and allow the life of the vine to flow through them. Dear people of God, He is the vine and root, and we are branches. And when we need pruning, the goal is always more fruit. Goal is always more fruit. And that leads to our next and last point. Abiding in Christ, what it brings. What are the results of abiding in Christ? Briefly, according to Psalm 91, abiding in Christ brings security. He who dwells in the secret places of Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If we abide in Christ, it brings security. Abiding in Christ also brings cleansing. The result of abiding in Christ is cleansing. John chapter, our text, chapter 15, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. If we abide in Him, if we belong to Him, there's a work of sanctification the Holy Spirit is doing in Christ. Abiding in Christ thoroughly brings confidence. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Abiding in Christ brings security. Abiding in Christ brings cleansing and confidence. And abiding in Christ brings usefulness and fruitfulness. John chapter 15 verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And lastly, abiding in Christ brings victory. 1 John chapter 3 verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor know him. So here we see if we are united with him, we can overcome sin. Because we are the given of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me conclude with some implications of being united with Christ. Because you are united with Christ through the Holy Spirit, because we are united with Christ through the Holy Spirit, we now live in Christ's strength. Depend on him, because you can do nothing without him. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, we can do all things. How? By our own power? No. We can do all things in him who strengthens us. The same truth is found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you, and the life you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. Being one with Christ means not only that we live in Christ's strength, united with Christ, not only that we receive rich blessing from the true vine, but it also, being united with Christ also means that we will also suffer like him or for his sake. Last Lord's Day. Before I was leaving the church, for the church to preach, I just saw BBC news, and there was an explosion in Pakistan. 11 o'clock worship service, there were about 200 believers worshiping. Around 11:30, two guys came in. Did you lock the door? Here. Two guys came in. I was just kidding. And they killed many believers. Why that happened? God knows. But why they suffered? It's every day. It's almost every day or every week there. For the sake of Christ. They know that. I know that. Anything can happen. When I go, everybody's worried. When I go, my family's worried here. But this time I'm taking my family with me, and my church is more curious about that. Every time I preach there, the first, I don't look at the congregation first, but I look at the two or three gunmen standing there over there. All the time they remind me something. And they're two outside. They go around. Sometime when we have a seminar, we call police too. But people come to church to worship. That's amazing. I know. They are not very well-educated people. They don't know much. Many people are illiterate, even cannot read the Bible. But they come there, even though they know the truth. Even to suffer for Christ is a blessing. So, being united with Christ, we receive strength and blessing from him. And that also means that if he has suffered, we may suffer. suffer like him. And for his sake, may the Lord enables you to abide in him, abide in the true vine, Jesus Christ, now and in coming next year too. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we learned your unspeakable truth about our union with you, and that we will abide in you and you in us. Otherwise, we cannot bear fruit. Apart from you, we can do nothing. You have poured your love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and we can remain in your love. We thank you that that through you we will bear much fruit, not by ourselves, not by our own strength. Lord, we pray for all those not abiding in you. We pray that they will repent and not be thrown away as worthless branches. Lord, help us to remain in you. And give us spiritual hunger that your living words remain in our hearts. We thank you for working this. And we thank you that whatever we desire, we will ask. And it shall be done and given to us. Lord, keep us in your love, which is as great as the love between you and the Father. In your gracious name I ask. Amen.